Colossians chapter 3. Need a paper? Hold your hand up. We'll get you a Bible study paper tonight. If you don't have one, hold your hand up. We'll get you one. I want everybody to be with us together on this. All right. Alright, he said a thing.
We leave our papers.
Well, we know that. Yeah. We know that. We're going to charge you. Next week, we're going to charge you. Hey. Brother Rick tells you, first couple's free, but 15 is... We've given you one every week since March. That's alright. We're just kidding. Anybody else need one? Everybody got one? Yeah. All right, Colossians chapter 3, where we're at tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Everybody okay? Everybody ready?
Yep.
All right. All right, straighten up. All right, everybody okay? Let's pray together. Father, we come. We need your help tonight. Lord, so often we come, we enjoy the singing, and it warms our heart, and then we get to go straight into your word. And Lord, it makes it a great evening. Thank you so much for all you give us, all you do. I know I don't deserve anything. You give me everything. And I ask you to cleanse me, touch me fresh, give me power to teach and preach as you see fit. May you be the one that is magnified and glorified in every way. May we learn that we can be more like you as you have said in your word. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 3 is where we're at. We're going to pick up where we left off for last week. And verse 15 is where we're going to look at tonight. Just for a little bit of review, just for a moment, that's where we left off at last week. They're on your paper. Should be on the back of the paper that you have, all right? Let's remember a couple of things right quick. Colossians and Ephesians go together. Of the 95 verses in Colossians, they're almost identically repeated in Ephesians, 78 times, 78 verses of the 90 some. And it's important that we have this, important that we see. The Gospels tell me how to be saved. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell me how to be saved. Acts shows us how the Gospel spread. Then the epistle shows us how to live. And this is not super Christians. Now, I want everybody to understand this. This is not super Christianity. This is supposed to be normal Christianity. Does everybody understand it? I don't know of any scripture that teaches us to be super Christians. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't know of any. Everything is laid out is to be normal. This is supposed to be our normal, everyday life. All right? Now, before we get started, I want us to go back and look at verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And I want us to look at this. And this is something we can't miss. And it's repeated throughout our papers and everything. But we can't miss this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life... Now, the rest of us good too shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But I want us to remember, we can't get past that Christ is our life. He is our life. Everybody understand that? We're saved, we're born again, we have Christ in us, hope of glory. That's what it tells us in chapter 1. Christ in me, hope of glory. I have the ability to do what this Bible says. It tells me in Peter tells us that we've already been given everything for godliness, to live a godly life. We've already been given it. We possess that. But we don't want to forget. Now listen to me, because what we're teaching is tough. All right. Chapter 3 is a tough book. And we can't forget that it's Christ in me that's enabling me to do these things. In my flesh, by myself, I can't do nothing. Jesus even tells us in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Now, but we have the Lord. So we can't offer excuse now because we have the Lord. So let's look here. Last week, let's go back to verse 13 just for a moment. It says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. And to me, that is an amazing verse of everything it said before verse 14. Now it says, and above all, that says a lot. Everybody gets that, don't they? Above all, put on charity, to be clothed with charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then verse 15 now, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And we looked at that last week, finishing up with that, that the peace of God, that it will rule, reign, be the boss, be the leader in our hearts, the peace of God. Now, this peace of God is not the peace with God. Peace of with God, I have peace with God because I'm reconciled and justified freely by His grace. That's peace with God. But then He moves in and I have then peace of God, and He lets me do the things that He has written out here. Is everybody with me there? That's what we looked at last week. So let's pick up now in verse 16. There on your paper, let's look here. And we're going to read down through verse 18. I don't know that we'll get that far, but that is going to be our, that's going to be our goal anyway, to get as far as we can. So let's read them three verses there. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now again, here we have the verbs starting these verses. You know, we put off, we put on, we forbear, we put on charity. It says, and let, you gotta let it, let the peace of God rule. You don't fight against it. You stay out of the way. You let it present itself. All right. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Let's keep reading. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, that's a lot. There's a lot in these verses now. So let's start again. Let's back up to verse 16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, again, that's to permit it, to allow without restrictions. We let the word of God dwell in us, to abide in us. All right, everybody understands that. The word of Christ to dwell in us. And the way to let the word of Christ live in us is to live in the word. You're going to have to live in this book. This word needs to live in you, but you're going to have to live in this book. You're going to have to read this book. You're going to have to study this Bible. You can't know what to do if you don't get in this Bible. And that is our strength. That this is our we get power from this. It's God speaking to us when we read His word. When I pray, I talk to God. When I read His word, He talks to me, and He shows me what I'm to be. He teaches me what I'm to be, and I need to abide there. I need to abide at as the disciples did when Christ walked on this earth. They sat at His feet and listened. They had questions, and he answered their questions, and he taught them. They sat at his feet. Well, I can't sit at his feet physically, but I can sit at his feet with his word and let him teach me the same way as the Holy Spirit of God then directs in my heart the word of God, and I can dwell in it richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Everybody still with me there? These things are really simple. Now, as we say, to dwell, to have a fixed place. If I'm going to dwell there, it's a fixed place. A permanent place. The Word of God's going to have to be as much of our life as living and breathing. All right? Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the past, they asked him which is more important, reading or praying. And he asked the question back at him, which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? And that's how important they go together. Breathing in, breathing out is the same as study and prayer. We got to have that. Now you say, well, I don't like to read. Well, then you're going to fail. You're going to be overcome. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to live a defeated life. You're going to stay discouraged. You're going to stay depressed. All right? So you don't have to read if you don't want to. That ain't got nothing to do. The Bible don't say he who reads goes to heaven. All right? But it would be a whole lot better on you in this life if you read his word and know what to do. Anybody that has a job, anybody that has a job has to learn the job. You don't know it going into it. You wasn't born knowing the job. You can't be the Christian you're supposed to be if you don't read the manual. The manual is the Word of God. You say, well, I can't understand it. Just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. It'll come. It's spiritually discerned. Make sure you're saved and then read your Bible. Make sure you're saved, read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you keep reading your Bible, if you ain't saved, you'll get saved. You know, it'll help you, but you need to read the Word of God. And it's for everybody. They would not be judgment given on what we do wrong, all right, if it wasn't for everybody. It would be wrong to judge someone who is not participating. How would that be? All right? Everybody still follow me? So let's look at a couple of things. Now, we go on and look at this verse and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now look what it says, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, we're glad to admonish one another, but we're not big on teaching one another. Now, when we look at teaching and admonishing one another, that means there's going to have to be communication and fellowship one with another. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? That means we're going to have to probably get together more than on Sunday morning, and we don't talk to nobody during Sunday school. We don't talk to nobody during preaching. All right? We have 10 minutes that we speak to someone between Sunday school and preaching. Normally, we get here just in time to blow in when they're singing the first song, so we don't fellowship before church. We run out the door quickly, if we can at all, after church. So when is this teaching and admonishing going to go on? Right. You tell me. Well, that's what Brother Rick does. Well, Rick's doing his part. But they didn't say for Rick Childers to do it. It's talking about for all of us doing it. So this is called fellowshipping. And when we get together, now listen to me. I like to talk about squirrel hunting and deer hunting and fishing and gardens and everything else. But if when we did get together, if we talked about the Word of God, then we wouldn't have time to talk about our neighbor. If we talked about the Word of God and started teaching one another what the Word of God says, and then helping one another. When we see admonishing there, it's correcting. It don't mean you done this wrong, you idiot. No, we're showing and teaching and learning together. And we fellowship together, then we'll probably naturally start praying together, and we'll be friendly one with another. Then we'll start knowing one another and learning one another. And then we'll go to church with people we know, instead of going to church with people we don't know. Does everybody understand? That's all involved there. There's more involved when it said, "Well, teach you tomorrow." Okay, but well, how are you going to do it? Right. How are you going to teach me if you don't come see me? Right. How are you going to admonish me if you don't come see me? Don't do it on Facebook. Don't teach me a lesson on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. Don't teach me a lesson on Instagram or TikTok, what all these things are. I'm not on none of that. Don't do no good to teach me on that. Don't send me an email, because it'll probably be in the junk folder and I delete all that. You're probably going to have to talk to me. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. How many of us visit one another just to sit around and talk about Jesus? How many of us visit one another just to talk about Jesus and we don't do it? If we sit around, we'll talk about somebody else other than Jesus. We okay? It said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and always in teaching and admonishing one another. How are we going to do it? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that is a loaded verse right there. Can you agree to that? Yes. We're teaching and admonishing one another. All right, we're going to be encouraging. We're going to be worshiping together. We're going to be teaching. We're going to be singing together. It's just going to come natural being a Christian. This is the normal Christian life. See, this is what used to be done, and we replaced it with the TV. The radio, then the TV, right? Then we replaced it with computers and phones, and now all these gadgets. We've replaced it with activities. There's nothing wrong with none of these things. There's nothing wrong with activities, but they've replaced the time when people gathered up on porches or in homes and fellowshipped about Christ. That used to be the normal. Well, can I tell you, that's still the normal, but we're not normal. We're abnormal. No, we're subnormal. We need to be abnormal, but we can't even get to normal yet. All right? Are we still okay? Everybody still with me? Now, when it talks about Psalms, well, the Psalms is exactly what it's talking about, what's in the Scripture. And hymns. And spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight, and I want us to listen carefully. We need to pay attention to what we listen to, and the music that we listen to, and the songs that we do sing, and we need to stay out of the world. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we don't have no business listening to worldly music. We don't have no business listening to country music and rock and roll music and pop music and all that. We don't have no business listening to it. Now, you do to suit yourself, but you're not going to be spiritual. You do it if you want to. That's your business. But I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to be spiritual doing it. You'll think you are. You know, I was somewhere Monday, and they was playing on the radio. So I don't know what it was country music. And I thought to myself, I understand why people drink. If I listened to that, I'd get drunk too. It would drive me to drink. I've never tasted a drop, and it would drive me to get on a big one. You know, because the dog died and the wife left and the job played out. It was just, wow, man, kill myself, you know. And they making millions on it. Now, I just don't see where the Lord's glorified in none of that or exalted in none of that. And I don't listen to it. I don't listen. I'm not going to support it. I don't listen. I ain't going to do it. All right? And I know some people do, and they say it ain't going to hurt. Well, it does hurt. I'm just going to tell you it does hurt you. I'm going to tell you why it hurts you. Because you listen to it, then it gets in your heart. You retain, they say, I don't know who they are, but they say that you retain 30% of what you see, 20% of what you hear, and only 10% of what you read. So, if you watch your trashy music on video, you're going to retain 50% more than what you read. So go ahead and read your Bible. But if you listen and watch your music videos of the worldly music, then you're going to retain 50% more of that than the 10% of what you read in your Word of God. Okay? And I'm surprised, you know, that this should be things, since this is normal Christianity. This is when everybody in the church should say, amen, preacher, you're right, you're preaching to the choir. But the problem is, I am preaching. And we don't do these things. Well, I've always listened to that. He didn't roll with Merle Haggard. He got saved before he died. Ain't nothing wrong with them. Ain't nothing wrong with Bill Anderson. Ain't nothing wrong with all of us. Now, y'all know I'm old school because them are old people. It's all dead now. Yeah. Let's look at Psalms 28, can't we? Everybody okay? Yes. Can I get any plainer? Do I need to be plainer? No. If it ain't glorifying the Lord, you ain't going to be listening to it. Right. How about we just go there? If it ain't going to magnify Jesus, all right? I mean, we'll sing the devil went down to Georgia, but we don't sing about Jesus going to Calvary. Huh? Psalms 28. How about verse 7? It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him and I'm helped. Can we say amen there?
Amen.
Now, because of that, it says, therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song will I praise him. That's what it says. How about Psalm 71? Yeah. See, now we're talking about psalms and spiritual songs together here. Is that okay? Yeah. And we're looking at psalms and spiritual songs. How about Psalm 71? How about verse 23? Psalm 71, verse 23 says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when? When I sing unto thee. Not just when I sing, but when I sing unto thee. And my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Huh? Is that not what it says? Huh? In psalms and hymns, sing with grace in your hearts. Singing with grace, back in Colossians 3:6, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What does 71 say, 23? I sing unto thee. You see any similarity there? Sing with grace in your heart to the Lord, and I sing unto thee. That's what it says. How about Psalms 138? Psalms 138. You know how I know you remember what you hear? You ever go to a restaurant and some of us older ones up here, they go to a restaurant and they play an old song. Let's go back in our past and they play the Beach Boy. And we sing it right along with them, and we're reading the menu and carrying on a conversation and singing a song. And we can't even tie our shoes at one time. But we can sing a worldly song and look at the menu and carry on a conversation. Now, why is that? Why is that? And if we don't have it on the board, we can't even sing a hymn. Hmm? Why is that? Huh. Amazing, isn't it? How about Psalms 138? We still okay?
Amen.
How about verse 1? Psalms 138, verse 1. Said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I think I'll just go ahead and sing. Huh? We say, well, I can't sing. Well, maybe we ought to go to chapter 40. Psalms 40, you reckon? Psalms 40, verse 1. Is everybody still okay? Yeah. Psalms 40, verse 1 said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Now, wait a minute. Have you understood what this says? And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. And many's going to see it. They're going to see that new song in my mouth. You ever notice that? They're going to see the new song in my mouth. They're going to see the praise unto our God. Ain't that what it says? And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's what it says. Huh? That's what it says. You want to look at another one? How about Nehemiah? Nehemiah, Esther. Let's see. How about chapter 12? Nehemiah chapter 12. Just to see if there's any important things about singing spiritual songs and hymns and psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with grace and the Word of God dwelling in me. All this stuff comes together. We okay with that? Yes. Nehemiah chapter 12. Let's start around verse 42. And I'm going to butcher these names, but I'm going to try them. And Maaseiah and Shimei and Elazar and Uzzah and Jehohanan and Malchijah and Elam and Ezer, and the singers sang loud with Jezrehiah, their overseer. And the singers sang loud. When you sing, we ought to sing loud, I believe. Verse 43 says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced for God and made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. See, the men and the women even got in on it. And the kids. Sound like the whole family was singing to the Lord, huh? So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. And in the days of David and Asaph of old there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving. What I'm trying to show you is they used to do it. They used to do it. And they had joy, and the whole family gathered in. Daddies, mommies, and kids, and the singers, and they sang loud, and they had joy. Huh? And then they all went to work, and they restored the temple, and they all got in there involved, but they had that singing. Huh? And why is that important? Well, back to Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching. The word of Christ is going to teach you and admonish one another. It's going to help me to teach you and admonish you. Can I tell you that iron sharpeneth iron, that it's okay to teach the preacher because the preacher don't know everything? Everybody know that? Huh? Everybody don't know everything. You don't know everything and I don't know everything. And we ought to be working together in this thing as a family. Is that not right? Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sounds pretty good to me. What do you think? Now, why is that word of God so important? Why is it so important? Can we turn to John 17? John 17. This word of God is going to set me apart that the world's not going to get involved. Now, I want you to listen to me tonight. What we listen to The Bible says faith cometh by what?
Hearing
by what? Hearing. We need to hear it. We need to read it. We can read it out loud. We can let somebody read it to us. We need to sing spiritual songs and hymns. Psalms, spiritual songs, hymns. We need to hear it. It needs to come in so we can retain it and hold it in there. Are we still okay? Why? That it might set me apart from the world. Why does it need to set me apart from the world? Because I'm not going to be worldly and live a spiritual life. I'm not going to be carnal and live a spiritual life. Somewhere we got to get back to where this, a normal life is a Christian life. You are not to have a secular life. You're born again. They're not supposed to be, well, that's my secular life, and then I got my spirit. No. You live in the world, but you're not of the world. And you have a life that's supposed to be a spiritual life, for your life is Christ. And that's what the Bible says. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what's going to set me apart, is the word of truth. The Bible's going to, and then as it set me apart, he's given me a song to sing as I'm set apart, and I'm going to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, huh? And I'm not going to mix it up and sing a tear in my beer, and there's a fountain filled with blood. It don't go together. Huh? Are we okay? And the sad part is that in, I don't know how it is everywhere else, but in our area, that it all has always went together. I was raised that way. Well, I was raised wrong. That was one of the part of my raisings that was not right. Huh? I'm going to tell you how guilty people are. Years ago, we used to play bluegrass music all the time. Play music all my life. Right? Well, Carolyn's uncles. I played music with Carolyn's uncles. Be Cheryl's uncles as well. But we played music. Well, they all got saved. Now, they was at the rough time. Before they got saved, they drank and fought and played music. Cheryl's pawpaw didn't play. He done the fighting. And the rest of them done the singing and the playing. He took up the collections and done the fighting. I'm serious. Lanny Schaefer done the fighting and taking up the collections. And Clinton and Pootie and Leonard and Herbert, they all played the music. All right. Well, they all got saved. Well, they always had a fiddle tune. Now, I'm going to tell you how convicting the Holy Ghost is when you when people need to pay attention. All right. They've played music all their life. Well, they come time to play music. They got saved. And Pootie John was going to get ready to play a fiddle tune. And this is Russ and Johnny and all of them. Pearl, we just prayed for, is her husband. He said, man, I'd like to play at Up Jump the Devil. That was a fiddle tune. He said, can we call it something else? Because it was convicting him that he was a saved man getting ready to play a fiddle tune, Up Jump the Devil. Now, why is that? Why is that? It matters. What I'm trying to tell you, it matters about spiritual song hymns, spiritual songs, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and the word of Christ dwell in our heart. It matters. It matters. And that's all I can say. All right? Verse 17. We got a few minutes here. Let's look at verse 17. We okay with 17? All right? Well, are we okay with 16? All right? Well, we didn't read Ephesians 5, did we? Better read that, hadn't we? Is everybody okay? Ephesians 5. How about we look at Ephesians 5:18? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I wonder what we would do if we was filled with the Spirit. I doubt we'd play Up Jump the Devil. Huh? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, it reads about the same way in Colossians, don't it? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just wanting you to know there's something to this tonight. And this is the normal. This is supposed to be the normal. Now, when we get this and when we start living that way, people's going to say, oh, you think you're something. You're self-righteous. I'm wanting to be normal. What we need to do is live like this, and it matters not what anybody does say.
Right. Exactly.
And we don't run it down somebody's throat and say, you need to do it. You'll be like me. No, we just need to do it. And live for the Lord and let others see the song of praise in our heart and in our mouth and see the new song that He's put in us. And let that be the testimony. And sometimes we try to do the Holy Spirit's job. We try to convict, and it's not our job to convict someone. It's our job to tell people the truth that the Holy Spirit's got to do the convicting. Is everybody okay with that? Now let's look at verse 17, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed. Now that pretty well lines it out. Whatever you say or whatever you do. How about that? That get everybody's life. Whatever you say, everything you say and everything you do, you ought to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, there's no reason for you to ask, what about this or what about that? Because it says, and whatsoever you do. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you how critical it is. If I'm painting a wall, or if I'm cutting grass, or if I'm hoeing my corn, or if I'm digging a hole in the ground, or if I'm running coal, or if I'm cutting timber, or if I'm doing book work, it don't matter. I need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Why? Because Christ, who is my life. Christ is my life. Is everybody okay understanding that? So whatever we do means whatever we do. Simply everything spoken, everything done is to be done acting with Jesus as the standard. Huh? When I cut my grass, I want my grass to glorify Christ. When I get my groceries in Food Line, I ought to push my buggy in Food Line like a Christian instead of running people over with my buggy. You know, and I ought not run trying to grab the last loaf of bread and the last gallon of milk when they forecast a snowflake. I mean, are you understanding? Everything I do, I ought to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. I am exemplifying Christ. Now, somebody correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. I mean, I'm a Christian, correct? Are you a Christian? Then my whole life, everything I do, everything is supposed to be exemplifying Christ. I'm not to exemplify the church. I'm supposed to exemplify Christ. When you see me, you ought to see Jesus. I ought to be acting like Jesus. And you say, well, how do you act? Well, I got a whole book that tells me how to act. We okay with that? Let's get that Colossians 3:4. I got it wrote down there. We got to get it in our mind. When Christ, who is our life, we got to get that in our head. We got to work under His authority. Christ is our life. And the importance of gratitude and recognizing God's blessing, acknowledging that these blessings come through Jesus. Everything you have, whether you're saved or lost, comes through Jesus Christ. Everything. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody, there's things given across the board to everybody. He gives you the strength. He gives you the abilities to do, to work. Huh? All I have comes from Him. All I am is because of Him. Huh? Is that not true? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Now, can I say this? I used to have a bad temper. I mean, I used to have a horrible temper. That I'd throw fits like a rabid dog. I mean, it was ridiculous. I had a bad temper. Well, I couldn't live like that. There wasn't no way I could be right with the Lord and live like it. Something had to change. Well, I got married. Well, I knew something had to change then. Because Cheryl had a temper, and I had a temper. So it's either that or Rick and Tim would be coming to see us somewhere in jail. Huh? Right? But listen, no, seriously now. All right. What if I'd done my job or done my work or lived in my house or done the things to honor Christ? What if everything I did, I'd done it with the attitude that I'm not going to honor Christ? Would I be the best employee? Would I be the best husband? Would I be the best daddy? Would I be the best papa? I would if I was going to do everything I'd done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if I'd done that, how many get aggravated on the job? How many get mad on the job? You ever get mad on the job? Do you ever get mad and just sling something and say, I'm done with it? It's hard to witness like it, ain't it? Ain't it? It's hard to do that. Right? I'll tell you this, we got to quit. Just to show you that it matters. If you chew or smoke, that's all your business. It ain't none of my business. But I used to chew. I kept a chew in my mouth all the time. I thought I loved it. It was just wonderful. Well, I started preaching. First Monday morning after I committed to preach, I went to work. Gene Coger was my shop boss, good Christian man. At break time, he'd be in his office reading his Bible, eating a bowl of fruit, drinking a cup of coffee, reading his Bible. Lunchtime, he's eating a sandwich, reading his Bible. At afternoon break, he was in there drinking a cup of coffee, reading his Bible. That was every just a normal, everyday thing. Well, Monday morning, I went to work, and he said, hey, Mark, have a good service yesterday. Yeah, I had a good service. He said, Chick preached good. I said, yeah, he preached good. Well, good, good. I said, well, Gene, I got to tell you, I committed to preach the gospel. Tears start running down. I say, oh, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. He said, when are you going to quit the chewing? And I said, I ain't got nothing to do with it, Gene. I ain't got a thing to do with it. He said, no. He said, well, tell you what you do. So you go back there and witness to Wes. You've been trying to get Wes saved. He said, go back there and spit between his feet this morning and tell him about Jesus. And I started down through the floor, and I said, well, I can't do that. And every time I stick my hand in that poker red man, I see Gene Coger's face. Wore me out. It's the same thing when whatever I do on a job. That if I'd done my job to glorify the Lord Jesus, instead of letting my temper... Everybody follow me? Letting my actions take my testimony away. And then, you know, we act like that. Then we go up and say, how about going to church with me Sunday? I don't think so. Why? Why? I don't do what you do. You go to church and I got more patience than you got. Are you following me? I just want to, we'll quit right there, hadn't we? And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray hard for Sunday. We'll see you then.